You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The Leafs coming off a loss last night. They drop a game 3-2 in regulation to St. Louis. Pietrangelo, hometown kid, King City guy, but we'll claim him here in Toronto, with a big goal last night. And
I think they're nuts if they don't re-sign him. Nuts.
It's just tough financially. What do you think he's going
to
get?
I don't know. Why the hell they have to go get Justin Falk?
That one doesn't make sense.
I know they want to continue to improve and doing this and doing that, and maybe it's a backup plan. But that, I think he's in it, like he's peaking right now. Won the Stanley Cup. He was awesome last night. I don't know how you don't look at him and say,
well, you just paid Braden Schenn too.
Right.
Like Pietrangelo is clearly more important than both those guys. Clearly.
Yeah.
Jay Bouwmeester, he found his game.
Signed a one-year deal.
Right, but it's the end of the road for him soon. He's 36 years old.
Yeah.
He's had a great career.
He can maybe squeak in a couple more years. Maybe.
Yeah, Gunnarsson's not young.
No.
You know, like it's Parayko and Pietrangelo. That's your defense core.
You're right. Now, here's the question. Pietrangelo turns 30 in January. Is that an eight-year? Does that scream eight-year, $10 million a year?
If you're being ruthless, no, it shouldn't. I would avoid that.
Right.
But like, he's sitting there with all the leverage in the world saying, I'm taking 8 years.
I like him a lot. I think he's so underrated because I you know, in St. Louis, he gets hidden. Obviously, he wasn't hidden in the finals, and they go all the way. And he's the captain of the Stanley Cup winning team. But to your point, you give Braden Schenn 8 years. Now, I didn't think the number was too crazy, but at some point people are going to question the...
How old is Braden Schenn? Is he 27?
He was 27, yes.
He'll be 28, I think, when it kicks in.
But
Pietrangelo, I'm thinking, like, if he's realistic, would he ever sign, like, a 5 or 6 year deal as opposed to...
Why would you do that, though? If you're in a position of leverage, captain of the cup-winning team...
Look, he's got a bunch of cash in the bank already. He's the captain of the team. I believe his wife's from St. Louis. Figure something out that works, but to just...
But why would he? I hear what you're saying.
And
that's on him.
Okay,
that's on him.
For him, the other side of it is I want Doughty and Carlson money.
Absolutely. If he wants to do that, he can do it.
He'll probably get it somewhere.
But he deserves it in a sense that this is a guy who, you know, through thick and thin, it wasn't that long ago. I believe it was last season in November or December. I thought there were reports that they were open for business and he was the front guy. Weren't they talking about him being acquired by
all of them.
The Leafs?
Yep. Oh, they were all on the table by all accounts.
Exactly. Like there was one no-go, whether it was Tarasenko or somebody like that. They were like, one player's not available. Everyone else will listen on.
Mm-hmm.
They win a cup. You're right. You have to be able to separate the player and your heartstrings. But it's not like this guy isn't 36 years old. He's a fantastic player. But if he's asking, if they've said, hey, I don't even know if they've even approached him to say, what would you like? I'm sure they've done their due diligence.
Bob was reporting that they're meeting today.
Right.
I don't know who his agents are, but...
Yeah, if he says 8 times 11, they're probably going to say, that's not working, we're trading you.
Right. But I don't think he should get 8 times 11, but he shouldn't be much lower. He's the next level below Doughty and Carlson. And
8 times 9?
Yeah, I would say so.
Why
would he not, with full no trade, full no movement, everything across the board?
But
it's their decision if they want to do it or not. But
there goes. Now, I'm not suggesting that he will look like Seabrook at some point, but that deal, you know, has been a situation where. Now, they won 3 cups. Doesn't matter. St. Louis hadn't won a cup, and Petro was a huge part of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether heartstrings are involved or not, that's somebody that he deserves the respect. And to me, to go and get Falk and sign him to an extension with a 6 in it, I believe.
Yeah, 6.75, I
six,
thought
five.
I don't care what they do with Petro.
Yeah.
He's from my hometown. I don't really know him, but I think they're nuts not to bring him back.
I think he's a fantastic player. It's just you've got Parayko, who I think is a really good player, too. And I think he's on a 5.3 or 5.5, something friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But your right side, your third pairing right shot defenseman is Falk making 6.5. Like, they're going to have to, something's going to have to give there.
Bob McKenzie in studio. What do you think's going to happen there?
Well, they've been playing Pietrangelo on the left side because he's good right. enough and flexible enough to be able to do that. So Doug Armstrong, let's look at it from both sides. From Doug Armstrong's perspective, you've got an opportunity to parlay Joel Edmondson and a prospect who isn't going to make the difference one way or the other whether you win any more cups or not. And he brings in a top four defenseman like Justin Falk, who can play top-line minutes with Pietrangelo on the left side. He's improved his blue line, and he's also given out a contract that, in his mind, insulates him if Pietrangelo does decide, I want market value, and I'm going to leave St. Louis, then at least he's not got a gate. The hole isn't as gaping as it would have been if he hadn't traded for Falk. Now, if you're Pietrangelo, for sure, you're the captain of the Stanley Cup champion team. You haven't had any contract talks. And they bring a guy in from Carolina and give him 7 times 6.5. Now, Petro's going to want a lot more than that, but it's going to be one of those negotiations where Doug Armstrong says, you know, he was quoted by Pierre LeBrun today in The Athletic saying, you know, we are not going to pay anybody superstar money. We're just not. So the notion that, you know, 10 million or a defenseman 9.5, I'm guessing, is off the table because, and that's what they appealed to Braden Schenn. They said, here, it's 8 years. And you're in your 30s already. That deal is not going to look very good in years 6, 7, and 8, but they don't care. Same way the Washington Capitals didn't care that Oshie's deal is not going to age well. They're Stanley Cup champions. They want to keep the window open. And if they can get, if Pietrangelo is willing to take less to stay in St. Louis, they're keeping the band together, and they've improved their team by having Falk. But if Pietrangelo is not willing to take less, and that'll be his call. Because it's going to be one of those negotiations where you just, you see how much space is left, and you say, okay, we can give you 8 years at $8 million or 8 years at 8.5. And I'm pulling these numbers right out of my backpack. So they're not legit at all. But the point is, let's say you were getting 8 times 8 or 8 times 9. 8 times 8 is so $64 million. What if somebody else was going to give you 7 times 9? $63 million. So that extra eighth year that St. Louis can give them, and knowing that he's in his 30s, some team may not want to give him 7 for...
What if some team wants to give him the Carlson deal or the Downey deal?
Well, listen, same draft, same age as Carlson and Doughty.
He doesn't have the Norrises, but
he doesn't,
he's got the
cup. He doesn't, and he's not those guys, but, you know, some would say he'll probably... You could make a case that his market value is closer to those guys than it will be whatever haircut he needs to take to stay in St. Louis. But that'll ultimately be his call. He'll decide. And I can get my, but he's got to be careful too, because you want to go to a contending team. So let's bring this back as we always do on Toronto radio station. Mm-hmm. What if he were available? What would the Leafs give him? What could the Leafs give him? They got to be careful because of the dollar. They got to sign Morgan Riley down the road. They've already got all the big boys up front. We know that. So what would be the max number that they could get? Could he get that much more from Toronto than he could from St. Louis? And does Toronto establish itself this year as a legit Stanley Cup contender where he would want to be, not just because it's his hometown?
Well, it's an interesting view into the psychology of a Cup winner, where you would think the players would believe they have even more leverage. Because, hey, I just supplied you with a cup, the first cup we've ever had.
And right. The captain who played fantastic in the final. You thought you would think that he would be issue number one.
Absolutely. But based
only,
on that
there's
mentality.
There's only so much money to go around, and they've committed money to Tarasenko, and they've committed money to Schwartz. And
I get that, but if you're Pietrangelo, aren't you thinking, okay, let other guys, go say to Braden Schenn, there's only so much for you.
Right, like that's...
Instead of it happening to the captain.
It's amazing when people cry poverty. Like, their job, Doug Armstrong's job, is to make it work, not to say, okay, you need to take a discount because we gave X, Y, and Z this money. That's your job.
And what I'm saying is, if they didn't win the cup, I think they'd be like, we got to pay this guy. But now they've won, they're like, nah, we got our cup.
Right.
Like, we'll pay
There's two ways of doing things in the NHL. There's the Boston Bruin model, or there's the Toronto Maple Leaf model.
But the Leafs are so desperate.
I understand
that, and
it's a little bit I say that knowing that it's a little bit circumstance in terms of the nature of the players you get. Auston Matthews is a unique player.
Right.
And it all happened at a unique time before the Leafs had won anything, and they had to turn over Nylander, Matthews, and Marner all in a very short period of time. They had to sign these guys coming out of entry level, and the dynamic had changed on the RFA market. But what Doug Armstrong's looking at, he's looking at Patrice Bergeron's contract, and he's looking at Brad Marchand's contract and Pasternak's contract and Chara, the way he does business, and what they've done with McAvoy on a bridge deal and what have you. So that's what he's saying. He's Boston's not paying anybody $9 million, $10 million, $11 million, or $12 million. And the St. Louis Blues have Tarasenko on a really affordable contract for what he does. Same thing with Schwartz. Now they have Shen. Now and they've got Parayko, and they've got Falk. Everybody's making five or six or seven.
But you got to have confidence in your program. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Boston's been to three cup finals in the past 10 years. Yep. They've won one. They can say, sorry, Charlie, you want to leave? Get out of here, man.
Absolutely.
Toronto cannot. They don't have that confidence.
And, but
they don't have confidence.
But St. Louis, because they won a cup.
Exactly. They got it
but
now.
But they might also, if, you know, Petrangelo was a pretty big part of that cup. Although the funny thing is, this is the bizarro world. Anytime you talk about the Blues, you can't not talk about how bad they were in the first half of the season and how good they were in the second half of the season. And that was true of Petrangelo. Midway through last year, when they were in last place, we were talking Petrangelo trade rumors, and it wasn't because we were making them up. It was because Doug Armstrong was listening on everybody. He was listening on Tarasenko. He was listening on Petrangelo. He was listening on all those guys. And then they brought Binnington up, and they got on a roll, and it was like, whoa, pump the brakes. We're not trading anybody. We're playing pretty good here.
Yeah.
But they were ready to cash guys out last year, midway through the season.
That's what I before he came on, that's what I was saying, but I wasn't sure. So Tarasenko was in play, too.
The whole team was in play.
There wasn't anybody untouchable. So I'm wrong.
Yeah, listen, it would have taken a huge offer to get Tarasenko out. And for that matter, it would have taken a huge offer to get Petrangelo out.
Right.
But
they were listening.
But they were prepared at that point when they were in last place. Doug Armstrong was prepared to do just about anything.
Well, how dangerous is that going to be for teams in January? You know what's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We're dead last, but
is
we'll
that,
what, happened
okay.
a
year is that ago. What you're going to learn then? Is to because if he would have blown the band up right then, there's no chance they win the cup.
No.
So is that the off-season lesson for some of these managers, is to hold pat?
Could be a curse, though, too. Oh,
it could be. You're right.
It's more likely a curse than a blessing in disguise, because probably never going to see that again.
That was a massive outlier.
January 3rd.
Who's ever in last place this year, I guarantee you,
is
not making the playoffs or winning the cup.
Yeah. Move your players. Yeah. That's probably what they should do.
Now, keep in mind, too, though, when you talk about the St. Louis Blues, at the beginning of the season, they were viewed as a legit threat to Winnipeg and Nashville in the Central Division. You know, it wouldn't have been a ridiculous notion to say at the beginning of the year, this St. Louis Blue team is a cup contender if they get some goaltending. The only reason people weren't all in on the Blues before last season is because they were looking at Jake Allen and saying,
no way.
Not consistent enough, not gonna get it done. And so, as I say, it was just a weird circumstance where Binnington comes up and saves everybody's life.
Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider in studio. Winnipeg and Pittsburgh tonight. Their defense corps is the talk of the league because of Myers leaving via free agency. Bufflin decides on day one of camp he's not playing. Now Kulikov with a personal leave. I believe he'll be back on Thursday. I thought I read that today, but he won't be playing tonight.
Morrissey day to day.
Morrissey's out. Like, this is a mess.
It is. And everybody says they got to do something. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Go trade for Jack Johnson? I don't think so. I mean, there's two. The players that are available may not be that much better than some of the guys they've got. The players that are available make too much money that, you know, unless you go seismic and say we're going to trade one of our big wingers, you know, Ehlers or Connor or Laine, they're not, and right now they're not prepared to do that. They're going to try and weather this storm, get Morrissey back one thing at a time. Hopefully Morrissey, who had a collision in the pregame warm-up the other night, and the fear is maybe he's got a concussion. We don't know that. He's not been diagnosed, or at least they've not publicly said anything. But they're hopeful he'll be back sooner rather than later because he's the linchpin guy. Yeah. The Bufflin thing really hamstrings them. It screws them really badly.
I got to be honest. I would be pissed if I was a teammate.
And I wouldn't want him back.
You're drowning. And this guy's like, not fishing sure I want to be there. And like, I get it because I'm sure, you know, we've played with guys who, you know, I'm sure at some point are like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But Bufflin somehow has to be keeping up with that team and going like, man, there's now Kulikov takes a personal leave. Morrissey's out, like just so many things. And he could be a guy to kind of help them through that, and he's hamstringing.
Think about how much pressure would be on him, though. Well, like, if for whatever reason pressure is something he doesn't want to deal with right now, you're not coming back tonight. He'd be playing 30 minutes in Pittsburgh.
And even he had purportedly didn't skate or train all summer.
That's good.
And you've not had a training camp, and you're coming off a bad ankle.
What do you think that weight looks like when he steps on the
skate? We need a weight reveal in Winnipeg.
We're doing a weight reveal next Friday.
This Friday.
For this guy.
It's going to start with a 2, and then we're not sure what the other 2 balloons are going to float up.
I'm worried. I'm worried.
I think you'll be fine.
I don't really care. I mean, it is what it is, but I don't think it's going to
be good. I'm betting the second number will be a 5.
No.
You don't think so?
I think it could be a 7.
No, it's not going the other way.
It's
you're
going
chipping
the other
away.
Way. You're
I can feel it.
Yeah, looking
exactly.
Good.
Yeah. Exactly. You're looking good.
How about
good.
The suit on Bob last night? That was a spectacular
I
suit.
I thought that.
That was a 5-year extension
it was
suit.
It was an aggressive move. It was.
That was a spectacular suit last night.
And the other 3 guys all chose that night. Well, Pooley always wears a dark suit.
Yeah.
I think Pooley's got one color suit.
Dale Hunter.
But everybody else had black or gray on last night. So.
Yeah, oh, it made you pop. Aggressive. It was
so
great.
I brought the major pink out.
We got to ask him, what's the worst rink in Toronto? We were talking about old rinks and crappy rinks that we grew up in with chicken wire and all that. I mean, you must have been in some of the
We played in a rink in Whippy that had chicken wire when I was a kid.
Yeah, that would have been the old Whippy Arena in downtown, I bet.
Just some of the grittiest.
The older the rink, the more I like it.
The character.
Yeah, like St. Mike's is awesome.
St. Mike's got character.
Scarborough Arena is fantastic.
Where do they have that?
North Toronto.
North Toronto is a cool rink.
It's a great rink.
I always remember playing at North Toronto. It was minor midget, and the good players played like full midget. I was in this like minor midget lower level thing, but you play the North Toronto Panthers. And I always remember with me and my buddy, we go into the skate sharpening shop and we're getting ready for our game and get our skate sharpened. So a guy comes in and he's got like a full beard and he's got like a giant afro because it's, you know, it's the 70s, man. And he comes in and hands the skates over to the guy and says, I feel like killing somebody tonight. And me and my buddy, we're giggling and we're laughing and saying, I'd hate to be playing that guy.
And you did?
And then they said, the guy behind the counter said, who are you playing? And he mentioned our team. And we were like, oh, no. And the North Toronto Panthers, they all wear, the North Toronto colors are green and red and white now. Back then, these guys wore all black. They had black socks with no stripes, black pants with no stripes, black sweaters with a panther on the front and a dark subdued gold stripe vertical down there that said like North Toronto or Panthers. And they were all huge and 3/4 of them were Italian and much more physically mature than we were at age 15. And it was terrifying.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Paul Gardner, who played in the NHL, played on that team, actually. But I love North Toronto. It's a beautiful
rink. North Toronto's
But Scarborough Arena is a great rink. St. Mike's is a fantastic rink.
Yeah.
I love the old Burns.
I haven't been in them in so long. I don't know which ones are still around.
People have been writing us some choice ones saying that they're
well, yeah, like dumps. Like the center ice up in Agent Court. Remember, it's in the strip mall. It's like the 2 pads underneath. John Booth.
Yeah, that used to be called Highland when it first started.
Right. Brutal barn.
Yeah.
John Booth. I forgot about that. Up at Jane and Finch. John Booth Arena. I remember that. Vic Park's pretty cool old rink.
Yeah,
Victoria Park. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, Vic Village or whatever.
Vic Village, that's right. Yeah.
On Bermondsey.
Yeah,
that's cold. That place is cold and industrial. That's like a, an industrial freezer.
Yeah, it was cool though.
Where Craig Berube grew up in Callahoo, Alberta. The rink was just a tin can.
Yeah.
Like it was so cool. If it's minus 20
like
outside.
Fold it over like that.
It's just like a barn.
Yeah.
With a rink inside of it. And you'd go play Kalahoo and you'd have to fight for your life. Parents and all. Like it was just a gong show.
There's people are sending in pics. There's a bunch of them coming in from Newfoundland that it's that.
Yeah, it's
just
a tin can.
There's like a tin can. But there's a door and then you go in and there's ice.
Just
and you play.
Ready.
I love those old rinks. Because we were saying parents are spoiled now. Like everyone sits up top at the bar and they're all sheltered. And back in the day, man, parents had to grind it out up in the stands.
Yeah.
Just freezing. Yeah.
I don't know.
Ted Reeve was a great barn. Great old barn. And a lot of people are wondering, like Wexford, when you played there, there was Junior B. Mm-hmm. So they played the Scarborough Gardens, I guess it was called.
Yeah. That's when my son Mike played for the St. Mike's Buzzers. They had a great rivalry with the Wexford Raiders. Mm-hmm. And so you get in a playoff series with them, and it was Scarborough Arena and then St. Mike's. I played peewee hockey at the Scarborough Arena.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. Like the GTHL teams that played at Ted Reeve.
Yeah, Birchmount and Kingston Road right there by Birchmount mm-hmm. Stadium.
Yeah, there's some great ones out there.
Brad Park's dad was my coach that year.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. There's some insight.
Exactly.
And Davey Keon used to watch all, was always, we always saw Davey Keon because his son, Dave Keon Jr., who works for the National Hockey League and is in the penalty box at the games, he played in the age group down from me. So our games were like at 7 or 7:30. His game was like at 6 o'clock. And so when we would show up to the rink, Davey Keon was always there.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, so keep sending in pics of rinks in the GTA.
Yeah,
there's
awesome.
A lot of them.
There's a curling rink, one of them.
That's Leaside. Leaside Arena's an old rink, too.
It's awesome. Ted Reeve, Leaside. When I played for Scarborough Lions that year, it was a four-team league. So there was Scarborough Lions, the Scarborough Arena. There was Leaside Memorial Gardens, and Frank Mahovlich's dad and Peter's dad sharpened skates at Leaside Memorial Gardens.
There you go.
Lots of history.
Remember, and East York Arena is a cool rink,
East
too.
York. I think it's been renovated recently.
Just off, so that was the four-team loop. That was like the four best barns you could get for kids' hockey.
Port Credit out in Mississauga is a great rink.
I always think of that one as a lacrosse rink because that's where the Mississauga Tomahawks used to play Junior B, Junior A, whatever.
Are they still called that today? Probably not.
I think they are. I'm not sure.
Really?
Are we? We're doing a fundraiser for what city?
Beaton, Ontario.
That's
the home of Jim Rutherford.
Jimmy Rutherford's hometown.
Yeah, they're working on a new barn. It's about 20 years in the making.
It's been in the works.
Things are happening. The wheels are in motion.
You guys are going to push them over the top.
They deserve a new rink. It's a great little town.
They've had 20 golf tournaments and they can't fire a shovel in the ground.
We're getting there.
Barn cooked up.
The works.
Don't worry about it. Okay, it's happening. I don't care what happens. We're getting that rink built and beaten. All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, boys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Get back into Baker Mayfield versus Richard Sherman. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. Raf tweeting in saying, how has no one mentioned double rinks up in Vaughan? That barn.
It's legendary.
Gritty.
It was like sunk into the ground.
Is that Chesswood or Westwood?
No, that's double rinks up in Vaughan.
Oh, yeah. Right
where the Vaughan Kings play.
407.
Yeah. But it's like the roof is so small. Like walking around, like going down into the dressing rooms.
When I played for the Vaughan Kings, we were rarely there. I don't think ever. We were up in.
So how high was the roof when you're on the ice?
It was high enough on the ice.
Okay.
But the rest of the building when you went in there, it was just, it was claustrophobic. Like you felt like there were too many people around.
Yeah.
It was a gritty bar in there, though, too. A very gritty bar. And some of the
you need to be a veteran to
established gentlemen would get after.
Yeah, you need to be a veteran to belly up at an arena bar.
Yeah. Well, Andy just sent me a note. She used to work at a concession stand at a rink somewhere in the city. And she
really?
Said you should be giving shout-outs to
the concession workers?
Well, yeah, people that would work there and have to put up with
usually
parents that were angry or whatever.
A lot of the moms. Usually it was a lot of the moms that would work, wasn't it not? The parents?
No, like, I always thought kids. Like, I always thought it was, like high school kids, side gig.
Well, they would get, if it was them, they would get some, I'm sure they would get tuned in pretty good.
Right. And she said never eat the hot dogs.
There was a good sports bar around. There was a good sports bar around the corner from that double rinks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool story.
Dynamite drop in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
I thought you'd get the gist of what I was talking
about. Oh, I think I know what you mean now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was called the Pro Sports Bar.
Okay.
Just an establishment.
But thanks for sewering me there, Monty.
I got you, Monty. That broadcasting school is really paying off.
Thanks.
So last night was a tough night. The Leafs lost and the Browns lost. And I've been parroting Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to get it together. I think he's got talent. He was brutal last night.
Yeah.
Awful. His completion rate is at 56%, which is bad. He's throwing multiple picks.
He just becomes irrelevant. I mean, people in Cleveland are going to follow him because he's a polarizing guy and their team is terrible right now. But for the general public and people in media, you're just like, you know what? You've taken yourself out of the equation and you're just a babbling guy who's talking too much, but you're not doing anything. So it's just, he's pushing himself and the team to the side where nobody's interested anymore. They're getting close to becoming the Browns again, where it's like, you had all this buzz in the summer and you were talking Super Bowl and how good you are and the new pieces, but not even close right now.
A lot of that's on the media and the fans and guys like me who I want to see a big personality have success.
Well, hey, you bring Odell Beckham Jr. in there and you got Baker Mayfield and you got different superstars.
You talk about irrelevant. Beckham Jr. is completely off the map right now.
Yeah, it must be driving him nuts.
Crazy.
Because he likes the spotlight.
He loved New York. He didn't want to leave New York. They traded him.
Right.
He didn't demand out. He had to convince people that he liked being in Cleveland. By all accounts, he wasn't showing up for OTAs. He wasn't living in Cleveland in the summer. He's a New York guy, Miami guy, L.A. guy. And it was easy to blame Eli Manning.
Right.
It wasn't his fault. Well, now I'm sure he's blaming Baker Mayfield or Freddie Kitchens because he's not getting any looks and no touches.
Yeah. He had the one reception last night. He was out of bounds. Like there was.
That was a bad throw, though.
Yeah. You're right. It was a bad throw. But he's not. He's not relevant right now. And I think that bothers him.
It would, because he's a flashy. He wearing the $250,000 watch.
Well, that went away pretty quick.
Oh yeah,
because all of a sudden they're not. Yeah, they're 2-3.
And getting embarrassed on primetime.
Yeah,
you better humble yourself pretty quickly. Now they've got a pretty weak schedule after the next 2 weeks. Right. They got a couple of tough games, but then after that, if they can skate, I think they're in New England next week or in 2 weeks, I believe. Once they get through that, they got a pretty easy schedule, and the AFC North is pretty bad. But we'll get back to that in just a moment. Quickly, Patrick Marleau has re-signed with the San Jose Sharks.
Smart signing.
But what happened? Like a month or
two ago.
They're
desperate. That's what happened. They're
so is he going to play every game? They have how many games left do they have? 79 games? Is he going to play 79 games?
Probably not.
His past would say,
he wants
if
to.
If they want him to.
I think they probably would have made a clear look. Your record, your games played.
Out the door.
It's irrelevant. You want to come here, you're going to play when we tell you to.
Should have been last year. Should have been. He should not have been playing every single night.
No. Not coming down the stretch.
Just in his best interest. Give him some time off. Let him rest. Let him be prepared. He wouldn't allow himself to come out of the lineup.
Well, ultimately, he's not going to get. I'd be shocked if he's making over $1 million. It's probably a 1 year at $1 million. And he's got so much money in the bank anyways. He's not playing for the money. He wants to, you know, I think it should have happened this summer. And it's not like, hey, we're signing you for a day. You're going to retire here. Like, there would have been no problem him fitting into that roster. Because even if he's 40 years old and can still skate, which I believe he can, if he gives you 10 to 15 goals, if he's healthy and plays all the games, that's good value for a contract farther down in your lineup.
Yeah.
For any team. Because we're talking about Trevor Moore is going to be good value. The GOAT may be good value this year if he gets you 10 goals. That's what your fourth line needs. Spezza may be at 700. It's different with the Leafs because they are, you know, more talented up near the top. But San Jose, they've had some turnover. There's no reason why a guy like Patty Marleau couldn't step right back.
I think it reeks of desperation, to be honest.
It is desperate,
it's like,
though.
It's like the teams that were all a 41- or 42-year-old Jaromir Jagr. It's like whoever's sniffing around on signing that guy at the way he was playing at that particular time, if they were that desperate for his 10 or 15 goals and his 25 points, It reeks of desperation. Yeah. That's what it is.
Well,
it is.
They clearly, if they really wanted him, they would have signed him in July. He would have done anything to sign there on July 1st.
Agreed.
Anything. And they told him, sorry, we don't want you.
And the last time I checked, he doesn't wear goalie pads.
Yeah.
That's the real problem in San Jose. So, Marlow to the Sharks. We'll find out the details, I'm sure, between now and 7. Only one ball game tonight. Verlander on the mound, which is always must-see TV. But last night was pretty wild. Like, we were on the air as the Braves-Cardinals game was ongoing. And I believe it was after game 2 where Acuna Jr. caught the final out, and he gave, like, a throat slashing.
Yeah, he did.
Which is not looked upon lightly nowadays. I mean, it hasn't been. I think that's more football because there was a big throat slashing movement in football, and they just said no more.
Right. Like, and remember, Kadri did it
to Giordano, I believe.
And I think he got fined or suspended for that. Like, it was the league jumped on him immediately and said, don't ever do that.
Yeah.
So Acuna Jr. did it as like a celebration.
Right.
But then it resulted yesterday. Yadier Molina, he won them the game last night. He had a big hit in the eighth, and then he hit a sacrifice fly that won them the game in the 10th last night. For starters, his bat flip, he threw the bat out to
aggressive.
Center field.
Yeah. That wasn't a flip.
That was a launch.
He launched it.
But then he started doing the throat slashing all over basically center field, again, in celebration. But it was also, in large part, in retaliation to what Acuna Jr. did. And by all accounts, I haven't seen baseball even issue a statement on it.
But is there a rule in place against that in baseball?
It's a decency issue.
I get it. You're right. It's a decency social issue. But if baseball hasn't dealt with it, like I didn't hear anything today about it.
And I would guess that if they do anything to Molina, they'd say, well, you better retroactively do something to Acuna Jr.
It might be one of those things where they're privately have a phone call and say, cut that garbage out. That's enough. We'll act like nothing to see there.
Yeah.
But was the Twitter mob on it? Because it seemed to skate the social injustice warriors.
Because the bat launch was so prominent, and people were like, look at... And Yadier Molina's been there for like 15 years. He's a legend in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was an emotional game. The series is tied 2-2. I don't want to see Molina not play tomorrow night. I don't want to see Acuna Jr. not play. But you talk about inconsistencies. It's usually about brand protection. It's about your image. And you've got two of the faces of the series slashing their throats to tell the other team, hey, we won the game, seems like something you might want to scale back.
Yeah.
Just an easy maneuver. Hey, quick email, guys. Don't ever do that again.
Isn't it one of those situations where sometimes you can do what I just mentioned, make the phone call, and you don't bring any more attention to it? And it's just...
Yeah. Like it is.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, sometimes you imagine taking one of those two guys out of a lineup for a game, the attention it gets, and then the throat slash, and then it's just like, it's just blown up crazy.
Mm-hmm. But you know... You know, in hockey, the NHL would have called Brad Marchand and said, the licking, the kids, like, knock it off.
Don't ever do it again. Although then he did it again, and they didn't do anything about it.
That's the thing. You know, there's got to be retribution for stuff if guys don't respect what we call, I guess, unwritten rules, the line, the society's line.
If I warned a guy not to do that and he did it again, I'd give him 10 games. Just say, you're not going to embarrass me like that.
Yeah.
We told you once, it's not a one, it's 10 games.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. Because it's not written into the CBA.
No.
You can't write in everything. But this guy won't lick someone in the face. This guy won't throat slash.
But I believe you could write it into the CBA and say
conduct, common sense.
Oh, yeah.
Conduct detrimental to the league. Exactly.
That's what Antonio Brown was all about.
It's a common sense clause going, don't be an idiot.
That's primary role for a commissioner.
And it would just be blanketed in. Yeah. You fell under the no common sense rule here.
Yep.
That's it. And you move on. I think that's where, again, the PA has to fight for their player and all of that. But if there was a layer where you could just slide it in there and go, what I mean?
Exactly. And this is not about telling someone, okay, you can't use that bat or you've got to adjust the shoes you're wearing or something like that. This is something where the players should understand, maybe it's not the best thing for my image or, people just... I'm not offended by it. But there are going going to find some people who are like, I don't like that.
Right.
I don't want to see a guy after a big hit or a big catch and a big out. Why are you slashing your throat?
Yeah.
There's, everyone knows that's not like some positive sign or a nicety that was just misconstrued.
No, that's...
Everyone knows exactly what it's all about.
Agreed.
Patrick Marleau, league minimum, $700,000.
Yep, there you go.
But he's still getting paid by Carolina through the Leafs with the buyout.
Not moving anywhere.
And he probably wanted to be in San Jose the whole time.
No kidding. There was some talk about Edmonton. Do you think he wanted to go to Edmonton and finish off his career?
2-0. Boilers are 2-0.
No, I'm just saying logistics, his family.
Yeah, no,
he's happy to have 700. And how many games does he need to break this record, by the way?
73, I want to say. Like, a lot of games.
Yeah, he would need
that's
going to
be interesting.
Season. Be tough. But
I don't see him getting there. Because once you get everyone back in the fold and...
He'll be the first guy to come out.
Unless he plays well.
No kidding. He can force their hand and say, I'm going to contribute. And
like Peter DeBoer knows who he is and what he's all about.
He knows exactly what he's going to get from him, too.
And he's going to have support in the room, too. You got to be careful with that.
See how it goes. I think he's a, you hope that he's been skating and staying in shape. All of a sudden just doesn't. You know how if guys don't think they're going to get a job, I'm not going to skate today. I'm not going to work out today. That type of stuff.
Well, how about Bob talking about Bufflin? Never skated, never worked out. That means he made up his mind in April.
Exactly.
I'm not playing.
But does that not reek of him showing up at camp and people going, whoa.
Exactly. Whoa, he showed up day one and they said, you can't be serious.
Yeah. Now, I thought I heard that he showed up in an informal skates like a week before and be like, I'm going to put the skates on now. And was
guys that, know, though. You peel off the shirt to get in the shower. Guys are like,
yeah, he did nothing.
For real,
summer.
Dude?
Yeah. Thing is, though, some guys have
are
that.
You for real?
Some guys have that body type and can be so effective still. I believe Buff was never going to be ripped or shredded.
No. But he had a legendary pick at a wedding in the summertime.
Oh, did he ever? Wasn't he wearing like a gold or green shirt?
It was like a dark brown puffy shirt, and he looked massive.
But you go back and look at his highlight tape. They had that Mark Stone hit on the other night in the Winnipeg game. That still could be one of the hardest hits. I know we talk about Wendell and Bruce Bell, but that was a 50-game suspension where Bufflin, that was what, 3-4 years ago? That was just one of the hardest hits you've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a clean hit, too. I don't think he got penalized for anything. Yeah.
Destroyed him.
Well, I think we know the answer. He's not coming back.
No. When you're in that state, you don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, that's tough.
So Winnipeg, you should
imagine like flipping the switch, going from doing nothing all summer to saying, "Oh, I'm Charlie Hustle now." You're too far behind.
Oh yeah.
It's like with William Nylander, and he probably worked his ass off.
Oh yeah, he would have been in shape and in the gym.
Yeah, Willie's in good shape. You can tell. And we haven't talked much about him, but he's had a nice start.
Oh yeah, I think he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's been very good
for him. You know, it's a
retribution. He should be that good. That's the player he is.
I know, but I'm just saying, like he's had a little retribution, a year from now, people will forget about.
Oh, yeah.
He's
far down the list of people's concerns.
Yeah, right now.
Based on contract and where he falls in place. And he did need a hot start, and he's had one.
Yeah.
And you're right. No one's booing him or anything like that. Everyone loves William Nylander again.
Yeah.
That's probably a lesson. I mean, that's the way fans and media generally work.
Yeah.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, Carolina's been red hot out of the gate, but I am on Florida at home tonight. Florida paying $1.65. Dallas needs a win.
Yeah.
Needs a win, and they're in Washington. They're
in
tough.
They've been a little bit dicey, huh?
They haven't won a game yet.
Yep.
But this feels like a rallying cry for them tonight. Paying $2.32. I'll take Dallas, and I'm on Calgary tonight at home. Throw down 20, you can score 106. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine got way into the game.
So you're telling me I can't lock in Green Bay -5?
No, there's too much. I mean, this could go the opposite way. Aaron Rodgers could get injured in practice between now and Monday night, and then you don't want them at -5.
I'll lock it in at 7 p.m. Monday.
Yeah. It's your pick.
Just before the game.
You must have looked at that, because it's one thing when you lose, you're just looking at what the other guy's got to deal with. You've had some spicy meatballs where I'm like, I know he's going to butcher this, or it's a coin flip.
Well, I'm 1-2 in my picks, which is not good, but it's not brutal.
Yeah.
But
you need to pick one and be right back.
It's crushing me. I need this guy to lose. He's 2-0. He's had layups. Steelers at home against the Bengals. Browns at the Jets. I mean, those were easy money picks.
You should go ahead and look at
the casino is once again taking a massive dump. The Hazy V Casino.
Yeah, it's losing money.
Been a tough go.
The sports book is taking a beating right now. The roulette tables hurt me. Blackjack.
Well, you'll fight back. You'll fight back.
Oh, yeah. It goes around, comes around. I'm not too worried about it.
That Leafs-Tampa game will be a nice game.
I'm looking forward to that game on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So, and you got Gronkowski making his debut on Fox. That's going to be a fun sports night. You're going to have playoff games in baseball as well.
Yeah.
So
we get in tomorrow to this NBA stuff, this Adam Silver.
Yeah. Like, he's come out and he's like, we're not going to apologize for the Daryl Morey tweet, but they.
Down.
Oh, Morey took it down, and Silver is dancing here.
Yeah.
He's in Japan right now.
They're painting over, like, NBA stuff over there. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, they're not playing the games in China.
I know.
Like, they're not messing around.
Serious repercussions, but ultimately you can't be, that's what I was saying, you can't be a hypocrite. Like, they allow the freedom of speech over here, and all of a sudden now money's involved and stuff.
Oh, big money and big pushback.
So I think he's dancing for sure.
Yeah, he is. No, this story is not going to stop.
I don't think it's going away.
It's not going to stop.
Because he was talking about, I'm going to meet
with
Yao.
He's going over there.
But he's like, I don't think
he wants
to meet me. Yeah, he doesn't want to meet me.
Yeah.
So,
well, and Yao, he's being told how to handle it, too.
Exactly.
Believe me, Yao Ming's not in the center of all this himself. So, yeah, we'll get into that more tomorrow. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clear Out sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.